following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Hello, Boston. You listen to Larry Higginbottom. Name of the show, From the Trenches, baby. Observation Trenches. You listen to WBCA 102.9 FM, WBCA 102.9 FM here in Boston. Kind of raining out there, kind of cool, you know. It's kind of a so-so day. Hope wherever you are, you're nice and warm coming from work. Hope you get home with a glass of tea or hot chocolate and sit back, relax. You know, it's nice to be home out of this kind of weather. So, again, hopefully I'm going to put some thoughts for you to consider. Again, I never look to degrade, humiliate, or shame anybody. Just put things out there for you to consider. You might agree with some, all, or none. But anyway, something you think about. Today, what I want to talk about is here. ADOS, Americans into Slavery. Come out of the institution. We've been fighting for civil rights, human rights, voting rights for the last, 70, 80 years, 100 years, 100 years, whatever. Been fighting for that. Now that DEI is gone, which stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, is gone now. The Supreme Court said, you know, you can't use diversity anymore. What you gonna do now, people? What you gonna do now? We put all our eggs into fighting for civil rights, human rights, voting rights, diversity, equity, and inclusion after they scrapped one of the most important clauses of affirmative action was race, based on race. It's somewhat ironic, and that was found by the Supreme Court to be unconstitutional in the 1970s. You couldn't use race as a redress for the deliberate intentional exclusion of black Americans in this country. But you could use diversity. So it's taken them, 50 plus years, right, to finally have the whole affirmative action scrapped. It's over. And so now in universities and colleges and campuses and companies, their whole DEI department is being dismantled, shut down. People being let go. It's over. Because you put all your eggs into fighting for social agendas, social situation, and not creating anything tangible that you could own and control, you want to be included in a house that we didn't build, we didn't own. And we came up with these terms. We need diversity. We need equity. We need inclusion. Well, but you don't own those institutions. So to the young folks who come behind me, because I remember the baby boomers, these so-called elite thinkers in our group, you know, who think they know every damn thing, think they know everything, chose to go down a path of non-ownership, right? Non-building, because we didn't build those companies, those universities, whatever it was that you had diversity, equity, and inclusion in, you know. And so now that the Supreme Court has found it unconstitutional, what you going to do now? What you going to say now, Boule, so-called elite thinkers, NAACP, Urban League, churches, educators, academia, what you going to say now? What are you going to tell the baby boomers? What are you going to tell these folks, baby boomers? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to say to the Gen X, the Gen Zs, and millennials? What are you going to tell them? Did you put all our effort when Jefferson Jackson took over from Dr. King, when King was murdered, and Jackson took over, and we were down this role of, Rainbow Coalition. Remember that? The Rainbow Coalition. We are a Rainbow Coalition. We're going to collaborate with other groups. And we got off our only grievance, our legitimate grievance, it's taking a back turn. Matter of fact, all the Jimmy grievance, which all this stuff came about, has been totally taken off the board. And so now you see Gen X, Gen Zs, and millennials, the last 30, 40 years, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, millions and millions of illegal immigrants from all over the world, not just south of the border, all over the world, are now getting preference over ADOs, over Americans and the slaves, or American blacks. Here in Boston, we're finding millions of dollars, to house, to clothes, to feed, to educate, but can find 2 cents to address your legitimate grievance that the federal government subjected us to for 300 plus years. We've been 400 years. We've been fighting for 405 years. Aren't you tired of fighting the spirit of whiteness, ADOs? Aren't you tired of that? So now, the last pillar of affirmative action has been knocked out from under us. And for those folks who bought into that nonsense, find themselves out in the cold with nowhere to go, feeling betrayed, disappointed, disillusioned. But you never should have bought into that nonsense, because you didn't own those institutions. You didn't own those companies. And so what it did, right, is a way of pacifying you, appeasing you. It took the anger and the steam out of our legitimate grievance against this government for the treatment of being excluded. For the reason that we have no wealth is because from 1619 to 1865 is 247 years of chattel slavery. The wealth that we produced, we got nothing for that. They fought a war over us. From 1865 to 1965, you're subjected now to a new form of what bondage called what? The Black Code laws. They made laws to continue our enslavement. So for 347 years, out of about 405 years of being here, all the wealth that was created, you got nothing. And so during the 60s, when Black Power came in and Black folks got up and started to riot and burn down these cities, you know, LBJ launched a commission, right, to see why they're mad. It's called the Kerner Commission. Kerner, K-E-R-N-E-R, Kerner Commission, 1968. And they came back and they said the reason why, because of white Americans. Of white Americans, how you treat these people. There's two Americas, one black, one white, based on how you have treated these people. And so to appease, right, the black upheaval, we got, you know, some laws passed, right, voting rights, Civil Rights Act of 64, affirmative action. Affirmative action was never about, you know, merit or being qualified. It was about putting the Negroes in the spaces and places that he had been excluded from because of race. But because of the contempt and hatred for the so strong and ingrained, the elite said, okay, how can we start to tarnish, right, or diminish the effect of affirmative action? We're going to hop on being qualified, right, or merit, okay? And we're also going to make sure that we even put out a negative message as to why it is reverse discrimination. You start to hear that term, reverse discrimination. Because anything that might remotely benefit ADOs always met with contempt and disdain, because the truth of the matter is the white community does not want to be responsible for this despicable, deplorable treatment that they had what subjected us to. So although affirmative action was in play, it's been met with staunch resistance and bad PR. Even amongst our own people, it even a bamboozled them. We don't need that. We don't need no redress. Are you kidding me? But I digress. You don't see any Jewish people saying that, or Native American or Japanese saying that nonsense, because the contempt and disdain for them is not ingrained in the psyche of whiteness as it is for us. Because we're the only group that's brought here in change, right, in chains now. We couldn't leave if we wanted to. Couldn't left if we wanted to. Even the Chinese who built the Pacific Railroad came in on their own. They could leave. They could leave, although they were treated horribly, but they could have left. We never had the option to leave. All the groups who've come here could leave. And most of these groups, the business class sent for them. Why? They needed labor. What you see inside of the border is labor. The business class needs labor. They need all these workers, right, to maintain Social Security as well. But they're saying, we don't produce ourselves. We don't reproduce ourselves. Why? They don't convince white women, right, through feminism, that, hey, having babies is not something they should not do, so they're not having babies. Those women is not having babies at such a high rate. So who's having babies? All the folks who's coming here. You know, they're having babies. Future labor. So now, not only are you not needed for labor, cheap labor, or entry level labor, you can bet your last bottom dollar, young people, the next 10 or 20 years, these illegals, right, they're going to be able, right, to be citizens. That's coming. If you think Trump going to send back millions of people, you're wrong about that. Or Biden, if he win, ain't nobody going back. Ain't nobody leaving here. Ain't nobody leaving here. These folks are here because white folks want them here and they serve a purpose. That you can be sure of. And the only redress that you have now that they have knocked down the last pillar of affirmative action, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which in my mind was just a passive, just something to pacify you, to take the so-called steam out of our anger. All right? Now that that's gone, the only redress you have in our country, I've been saying it for a long time, I keep saying it, the only redress that ADOS has in America, the system of economics based on capitalism, there's two important components, although there's many, but these two what I focus on. One is capital, other is labor. The federal government made sure, due to its racist laws, that we would not be able to acquire and accumulate capital to create our own, you know, malls, our own, you know, hotels or apartment complexes. That takes capital. But we ain't got that. You ain't got that. The only thing you have control over is your labor. So if you're not pursuing essential high-income skills, but you can demand top dollar in the labor market for your skill set, you have been terribly miseducated. I say again, you have been terribly miseducated. And that's is obvious because why most of our people, right, are either working poor, or just barely middle class. Barely if that. Most of our people are working poor and working class. And when you go and just type in, you know, how many black Americans earn $100,000, $200,000, it gets like, you know, not one, like point percentage. So you know what I'm talking about. We ain't there. Because most of our people, right, are down on the low end of the income scale. They're working now. They're working. As a condition that does home-based or mental health, these home, they are working now. They are working. But they own what I call the low end of the wage scale. And those who are doing well, they live in certain parts of the city, right, where you, quote unquote, you don't have so-called the crime, you know. But those who on the low end are getting, you know, Section 8 or whatever, or some kind of government subsidy, right, who although working, can't leave. They stuck there amongst all the new illegal immigrants in these public housing program. Their kids are stuck inside of BPS, all these newly arrived immigrants. They can't leave if they wanted to. Because instead of fighting for our own legitimate grievance against our government for the treatment that allowed the white community to subject it to, we chose a path of our so-called leaders, baby boomers, chose the path of, what, assimilation, integration. Dr. King, before he was murdered, spoke with Harry Belafonte a few days prior Harry Belafonte said, Dr. King said, you know something, Harry? I think I've led my people into a burning building. Even Dr. King was coming to realize that you can't integrate these two communities because the history is founded on what? Hate, contempt, and disdain. So young people, the history still may remain, right, tainted and polluted. Because why? We have been fighting since 1863 when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing some of us, right? Trying to be citizens to no avail. Despite laws being passed, as Dr. King said, laws might change some behavior, but it does not change the heart of one's true conviction. Anybody listening? Anybody listening? So again, here we find ourselves on the outs. And I'm saying it's a glorious time. Why, Larry? Because for the young folks coming behind us, baby boomers, you have something very, very distinct. You got what King did, you can assess. You got what the baby boomers did, you can assess. You now know what not to do. You know what path not to take. And if you're not taking the path where you are pursuing city contracts, state contracts, federal contracts, private contracts, the trade, whereby you can hire yourself, hire your people, where you can also accumulate surplus capital to buy your own, create your own shopping mall, your own housing complex, that you can hire folks where they can now purchase those services and goods. If you're not pursuing that as a strategy, you are not observing where we are. We at square zero. The people who has a legitimate grievance are at square zero because our so-called leaders, starting with Jesse Jackson and everybody else who came after him once King was murdered, taking us down a path of assimilation, integration, and coalition building. Now, nobody fights for the group who was deliberately hurt by the federal government. Nobody. And we allowed everybody to come up under this tent, right, that it was never intended for. So here we are. So my question to my listeners, hey, those Americans into slavery, we come out of that institution, that's our lineage. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion is gone. It's done. Over. The Supreme Court said you cannot use inclusion anymore. You can't use diversity anymore. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? What are you going to tell Gen X and Gen Zs and millennials? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? You going to tell them now? What you going to tell them now? I know what I'll tell them. You're at a very advantageous point in history now. In your home with your children, these are some things I would start to do and to instill in them right now. I would not fight against racism, voting rights, human rights, any of those rights. I would allow the white community to fight for that. Right? Let them fight for that. It's their job to eradicate that virus. Why? They create the virus. They create that virus. Let them deal with it. And they can also include those folks of color. I would start instilling my children, right, that this country runs on who owns, who controls it. Who owns, who controls it. So you must be highly skilled. You want to pursue contract with the city, state, federal government, private. Because when you become a contractor, when you become a business, and you're doing business with the city, state, or federal government, you get two things off the riff from the beginning. Any business need two things to stay afloat. Number one, revenue. Who's going to buy your service, right, or your product? Number two, service and product. Where's it coming from? Where? What are you selling? What are you producing? When you become a provider for the city, state, or the federal government, two things you get off the rip from the beginning. Number one is a source of revenue, tax dollars. City of Boston spends $2 billion a year with outside contractors. $2 billion a year is spent with outside contractors. Eight of those providers are there only one half of 1% are ADLs provided. We don't even register 1% of getting that money. We ain't there. On the state level, I'm a state provider. The state allocates a spend every year $4 billion a year with outside contracting. And they do everything. Consulting work, road work, electrical work, you name it. These are all outside contractors. So out of $4 billion, how much do you think ADLs get? American Black Providers. Again, less than one half 1% of the money we get. Why? Our so-called ADLs representatives who are ADLs, they fight for everything but where the money's at. They fight for gays, lesbian, transgender, right? Illegals, sanctuary city. They fight for everything and everybody that does nothing to enhance your or my quality of life. The city council, they're talking about, well, look at all this diversity we got down here. Out of $2 billion, right, that the city spends with outside contractors, less than 1% goes to ADOs. Well, how much good is diversity doing you? They ain't bringing home the bacon. They're not telling you that, hey, if you become a provider for the city, right, you have access to this pool of $2 billion, depending on what your expertise is, if it's painting, IT, IA, consultant work, whatever, you know, road work, whatever. Those are outside contractors, baby. They ain't talking about where the money's at. They're talking about sanctuary city, lesbian, gay, same-sex marriage, all that stuff. That doesn't put no chicken in your pot. It doesn't allow you to live where you want to live. Send your kids to the school of your choice. Have your kids exposed to what you want to expose your kids to. Don't do that for you. Same applies on like the federal level. $4 billion. $4 billion, right, spent in Massachusetts with outside contractors. Less than 0.5% is spent with black-owned, black-American providers. Why? Our so-called state reps, state senators, they ain't fighting for where the money yet. They fighting with Sanctuary City, you know, anti-Semitism, Sanctuary City. They find a way to put all the illegal. They don't put a chicken in your pot. They don't allow you to live where you want to live. Taking your family on your term. So those folks who represent us, right, they ain't bringing home the bacon, baby. Because they're not telling you, right, you need to be where the money's at. And so they have failed us on the city, state, and federal level. Federal government. I read a stat where they spend over $500 billion a year. $500 billion a year with outside contractors. $500 billion. Again, ADOs. Less than 0.5% are there. Are you kidding me? So what I hope that you take to heart, young people, Gen X, Gen Zs, and millennials, if we get out your way, America's a great country. She's a great country. I would not dispute it with nobody. Having been blessed to travel, she's a great country. I have no problem coming home to my home. I'm an American. That being said, we as a people have never been able, right, to be comfortable. Because why? We never were included in the wealth of this country, of this city, this state. That's the problem. So I'm just saying, putting out an atmosphere for you to think about. With DEI now gone, diversity, equity, inclusion now gone, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? And so, if you start with your children inside your home, instilling in them the fact that they need to have essential high-income skills, not just going to college, there's plenty of vocational and technical skills that pay you 1, 2, or 3, 6 figures, and you can also start your own practice. As a provider who has a company, we have over 40 people that we contract with. That's 40 families are sharing in the blessing those sires represent. 40 people. But we are a contractor. We got contracts. We can feed ourselves. Many of our folks can't say that. Because why? They've been sold down DEI. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Who houses that? Who owns that platform? You don't own that. You don't control that. And I say that the Boozle, led us down the wrong path for the last 60 years since King was murdered. And so now, as Malcolm say, the chicken done come home the roof. Come on the roof. And so now, here you are back at square zero. Everybody being served but you. Everybody getting assistance but you. And now you've been further squeezed by all of these illegals. And if you think these folks going anywhere, you are foolish. You are foolish. They ain't going nowhere. But the good thing, young people, that you have a chance, right, to create a different trajectory for our community. You understand that America runs on what you own and who controls it. You got a chance to get out here, acquire those essential high-income skills, get those contracts. You can take care of yourself, but also bring other folks with you. That's what I do. And also instilling your children, right, to stop denigrating themselves. When I raised my daughter, we did not use the N-word. It was not in our language or the B-word. I did not refer to my wife at the time as a B or H. And you're instilling your children to any other ethnic group, although they might be of the black family. They use the word the N-word, right? You got to check them. No. It ain't cool no more, baby. That's not us. I don't care if it's from the Caribbean, African, Dominican Republic, Haitian, doesn't matter. No, it's not cool anymore. So, young people, you have a chance, right, to change the trajectory in one generation of how we are, where we stand in, by what you instill in your kids today in your home. You, what you instill in your home can change the trajectory where we are in one generation. We can be on a different path. And I would not patronize anybody, any entertainer. The A's going to denigrate me or us using the N-word, B-word, or putting out all this sexual exploit out here. You can't get my money. I'm not against you. I'm against your material and what it stands for. I'm not against the person. I object to your material. Out of all the words in the English language, that's the best you can come up with? The N-word, the B-word, H-word, describing your sexual exploit? I don't think so. So the good thing, young people, that you got power to change the trajectory of where we are in just one generation by what you start to instill in your kids today about what is and is not permissible. And the first thing that I would do, I would totally not use the N-word in my language anymore. I would not use the B-word in the world for its women or the H-word to our women. I would stop saying that black men ain't you know what anymore. I'm not going to denigrate my group anymore. I'm not going to do that. It's going to start with me and in my home. And in one generation, you will see a change. You will see a change in behavior. You can also check these other young folk from other ethnic groups to know, no, baby, we don't say it no more. Of all the racial epithet still out here, all have been put to rest but the N-word. Nope, we ain't going in no more. So it's a glorious day to be where you are, young people, because you now know what not to do. That's a great place to be. Sometimes you might not know everything, but knowing what not to do is a great place to start. Again, you listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM. I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. Name of the show, From the Trenches, baby. Observation from the trenches. My title today, my food for thought for you to think about, ADOS, DEI, Diversity, equity, inclusion is done. It's gone. Put a fork in it. She did. What you gonna do now, baby? What you gonna do now? So I'm gonna take a break. I shall return and continue. Just put some thoughts out there for you to consider. Don't go nowhere.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people, it's something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page. Or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. Uh-huh. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who've carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skip stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's time for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
If you are struggling to afford internet service for your household, there's a new government program that may be able to help. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and it provides up to a $30 monthly discount to qualifying households. Find more information about the program, including if you qualify and how to enroll, at fcc.gov/ACP or call toll-free at 877-384-2575. That's 877-384-2575.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people, it's something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page. Or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. Uh-huh. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who've carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skip stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
I'm back, Boston. Again, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. You listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM. In my program, From the Trenches, baby. Observating the trenches, from the trenches. Today's topic, ADOS, America's Under Slavery. DEI is done, it's gone. What you gonna do now, baby? What you gonna do now? Diversity, equity, inclusion is gone. We went down the road fighting for voting rights, civil rights, human rights, racism, you name it. We fought for it, all social agenda. Worthy, but you know, you can't have nobody doing that. It don't lead no factories. It don't leave no wealth. You can transfer to the next generation. There's no inheritance there. And so now the Supreme Court justice has taken and kicked the last leg out of affirmative action. In 1970, they kicked out you couldn't use race. Everything they got here is based on race, but you couldn't use it for a redress, ADOS. But you can use diversity and inclusion. So now, 50 years later, that's gone. Boss give it, boss take it. So what you going to do now? What you going to tell the young people now, people? What my group, Baby Boom, is going to tell the Gen X's, Gen Z's, and millennials now? What I'll be telling you is what you just listened to Brother Gil Scott Heron. He wrote a song in the 70s during my prime called Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Revolution Will Not Be Televised. I thought that song, we thought the song meant there's going to be actual violence, you know what I mean? You know, physical contest, you know? You heard him, you just heard him say, no. We wrote that song, we meant that the change starts in your mind. Revolution starts in your mind. There's no fanfare. You know, there's no march down Main Street. It starts when you start to realize I'm on the wrong page. I'm going the wrong way. I have totally misjudged my country and the relationship between ADOS and the white community. I'm doing things right that's counter to my own production. I'm doing things that's counter to the uplift of my own people. He also said, I think very profoundly, that being born in America didn't seem to matter. Are you listening, people? Young folks, are you listening? Being born in America didn't seem to matter. We're the only group that's been consistent with the process. Other groups don't come here to fight or change white racism, white supremacy. They're not coming here to change this here paradigm, that reality. They know how America is. They come in to extract much of the wealth out of America for them and theirs. I get that. So why are we going to make folks colleagues or folks be comrades where there's no lineage there, there's no culture there, there's no connection there other than they might have melanin? Even those from the Caribbean, Africa, they're not coming to change this paradigm of whiteness, white supremacy. You see them on the 6, 7 o'clock news, you know, Africans, Caribbean, they have a pig and mess. Why? They're doing well. They're comfortable. They don't mind spreading the message that's put before them on those teleprompters. Miss Pierre, the spokesperson in Washington, D.C., she's probably the most happiest Haitian in America. Yes, indeed. They didn't come to change that reality, our reality, or join our so-called protests against white supremacy. She ain't coming for that. So why did Jesse Jackson and the leaders after him walk down a road of multiculturalism, people of color, diversity, equity, and inclusion, given that the relationship is built on 247 years of chattel slavery with a group who did not value, appreciate, or want us? Why would we do that and continue on that road for the next 161 years since Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863? Why did we walk down that road? I'll tell you why. Because we was throwing a few crumbs during affirmative action. Some folks was admitted to Harvard and Yale, rightfully so. Some folks got jobs with the city, state, police, firemen, etc. Some folks, right, got welfare. Some folks, the men, because they were not educated or trained to be out here, we're really left with vice and crime. A few folks were able to move to the suburbs. And so the rest got stuck in the hood, in the ghetto. And so here we are. And now since the last pillar of affirmative action has been knocked out from under us, our butt square is square zero. We leave you young people down at the base of the pyramid looking up. But the great place to be, I believe, if I was a young person, a Gen X, Gen Z, my daughter is a millennial, as I told her, I said, dear, you're in a great, great, great position. When you have your families, you can start instilling them virtues, the A, that will put you on a different trajectory for the community. Number one, don't use language that denigrates it. If I didn't use the N-word in your upbringing, I would not make it a part of her vocabulary diet. Number two, I would stress the importance, not just education, but essential skills, baby. You got to be highly skilled out here. All work is not treated equally. Although needed, it's not treated equally. And we are a living example of that. Most of our people are on what I call the bottom rung of the income ladder. Number three, I'd make sure that your daughter, your children, would be the vanguard of checking other young blacks or Latinos or folks from Democratic Republic or wherever. We don't use the N-word no more. It's not cool. No, that word insults any grade of. We now, right, reject that. And I also make sure that I teach my young people, right, we don't patronize folks who are going to denigrate us with their lyrics. We don't patronize you. We're not going to make you a star or a millionaire over garbage. Not that you're garbage, but your material is garbage. We're not going to, A, pay for that nonsense. So in one generation, I tell my daughter, you start to have your family with a husband, you can start to change the trajectory of where our community ends up at. And so if I'm a Gen X, Gen Z, millennial, in one generation, you can see a different outcome, a different trajectory of our community. So what you're going to start in the home with your children. And you will see a lot of this nonsense come to an end. Because America's a great country. She's a great country. I always say she's a great country. Now, she's never great for us. And those who have elevated themselves had to go out there through skills. Don't be fooled by entertainers now. The vast majority of our folks are not there. We're not living that life. That's what I call the illusion and deception that you think we're doing better than what we are. We're not. Our group is either working poor, or just getting by. That's what the group is as a whole. Why? Skill set. But it's a glorious day to be you, young people. Because looking at what we did, baby boomers did, you now know what not to do. And you're not going to be able to do well elevating yourself. You want to take as many folks as you can. That's why I say you want to pursue contracts. Contracts that you can hire yourself and hire your people. You can also accumulate surplus capital. Now you can develop that mall, that high-end boutique or whatever. Service everybody now. We service everybody. But you own and control that. In America, young people, it's what you own and control that matters. And we took it down the wrong road. Our leaders who took over once King was murdered went down the wrong road. We should have never stayed on the path just fighting for social agenda. Voting right, human right, social right, racism. No, young people. Allow the white community to take up that cross. It's their job, right, to eradicate racism. That's their virus. It's their virus used to justify exploiting and manipulating you know who, ADOs. So let them get rid of that. And they can use these other folks who just got here, these folks of color, to help them out. But I put my energy into acquiring essential skills, getting my contracts, we're going to hire me and my people, and be about building and owning institutions. You can now, when you step off, you're now passing right an inheritance to your children that they can keep it going. I'm 70 now. As I get ready to step off the stage, me and my former wife, who also work at Osiris, we pass into our daughter, Karia, all right, with a licensed mental health counselor, with a master's from BU, cum laude, very proud of her. But if we pass the torch to her, she's coming into something. She ain't starting from scratch. She ain't starting like me and a mother started with no inheritance. Why? There was no wealth. So it's a glorious day to be you, young people. It's a glorious day to be you. Ain't nothing but upside. Ain't nothing but upside. But again, I would not pursue the same trail that my group did. Because DEI is dead. It's gone. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, dead. Voting rights, human rights, social rights, you name it, right. That doesn't hire nobody. It doesn't build a factory that you own and control. It does not allow you to create wealth that you can pass to the next group as the inheritance. It doesn't do that. It's needed. So I'm saying, after 161 years since emancipation, a lot of white community and their people of color that they let in here, let them push that cross. Let them fight that fight. You won't find Larry going to no meeting on racism, voting rights, voter suppression, human rights. You know, not me. But I will go with you, right, to agitate for city contract, state contract, federal contract, private contract, the trades, essential high income skills. I will go with you for that. But this other stuff, no. We have given 161 years since Lincoln signed Emancipation in 1863. It's 161 years, Adolph. Put it down. Put that cross down. We leave to the world a template on how to fight for change. Let them fight that. Let them be the better ram for change. Let them do that. Put that cross down. Put that cross down. And I would redirect my attention and effort, right, to become highly skilled in getting me those contracts. That way you can have life on your terms. Live what you want to live. Expose your kids to what you want them to be exposed to. Roll when you want to roll. Because you're not going to do well out here making 20, 15, even 20, 25 bucks an hour. Ain't going to cut it. Not in these cities. Ain't going to cut it for you people. And now with all this cheap labor around here, please. You're not needed. Baby, you ain't needed. You are not needed. So, now's the time for those who don't possess those skills. And I started where you were now. I started where you were 30 years ago. I was right where you were, making about 27, 30 grand a year. Wasn't making no money. When I met my former wife, Deborah. Although we divorced now. But, you know, I think combined, we're grossing, what, less than 50 grand. You know, when I met 83. I've always worked. But when I got married, had my daughter, I just knew, hey, man, if you don't go back and upgrade your skills, you're not going to do well. You're going to always be struggling, always just be getting by. And I thank God for discernment and Dr. Omar Reed, who's the last of the field called mental health. Get your MSW with a master social worker. You can also start your own practice, start your own business, and boom, I thank God I listen. When folks tell you things, right, that you are good at, that you should do, pursue, listen to them. Listen to him. And I thank God every day that I listen to Dr. Reed. I thank God I'm in this field. It's changed my world, but also changed 40 other families that work at Osiris. And so now I'm about to leave an inheritance to my daughter that she can step in and keep it going. But you got to go back and upgrade your skills. Because DEI is gone. It's dead, baby. It's over. Diversity, equity, inclusion is dead. It's gone. Gone. What are you going to do now? I know what I do. I'm going to get busy to reinvent myself. So as I come to a closing, all right, I'm going to play my main man. I love this brother here, Gil Scott Heron, because his words are just as relevant today as the word then. I'm going to play it one more time, and then I'll come back and sign off. Pay attention now. Pay attention. Listen to this word. To his words, people, to his words. Listen to him.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution would not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people is something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page, or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. Uh-huh. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skipped stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
I'm back. Again, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. Listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Getting WBCA 102.9 FM. Name of the program, The Trenches, Baby. Observation Trenches. I'm The Trenches. My dialogue today was simple. DEI, which stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, is gone. It's dead. What are you going to do now? If you paid attention to what Gil was saying, it all starts where? In the mind, baby. Change starts where? In your mind. You got to want to get off this bottom. You got to want to do better for yourself. You're working. Most of y'all are working. But you're on the low end of the income scale. I had to go back and upgrade my skills, and so will you. To position myself to live like I'm living now. And so must you. But you can change your whole trajectory by changing your thought and changing the path you're on. But I would not spend any more time on voting rights, civil rights, human rights. Nope. Put that cross down. We've given 161 years fighting that monster. Let the white community, let them take it up. It's their virus, let them deal with it. These all these immigrants, let them help them. I'll just focus on acquiring skills and acquiring contracts so I can live on my term, take care of my family, right? Build wealth and leave some for the next generation where they can build and expand. What time is it, time, baby? It's time for a new deal. A new deal. And as Gil Scott said, these other groups, right? They didn't come in for that. They didn't come for that. Rightfully so. So again, let these groups fight for themselves. ADOS, stay focused on ADOS business. If you're going to protest young people, make sure it's based on what? Lineage and not race. Lineage and not race. But while you're protesting, you still want to live good, don't you? I know I do. You must be highly skilled to do that. You must be highly skilled to enjoy, right, the fruits of your labor. You're in the right country now. You're a great country. But you got to be skilled to enjoy the fruit of America. Well, as I wrap up, you know, I'll be back next Wednesday to share some more ideas with you. And I hope, you know, you stay well, you be well, and you take care of your family and yourself. Remember, no one's coming to save you. No one's coming to make it better for you. You must save yourself. So again, you've been listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. Name of the show, From the Trenches, Baby. Observation from the Trenches. And again, ADOS. DEI is dead, it's gone. What you gonna do now? Until next Wednesday, be safe.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.